we welcome into the show the voice of the South Carolina Gamecocks. He's Andy Demetra. Andy, thanks for the time. Welcome to balmy Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
It is no balmier here than it is in Columbia, South Carolina, I can assure you, Chris.
It's so much for being in the South. Just typical goofy this time of year in our state. And just hope. Tell me you guys are flying out tonight, right?
Yeah, we're flying out tonight. I don't think we'll run into any difficulties yet. So we'll be okay. And best part about playing this great game of basketball, it's always 70 degrees and cloudless and windless. Once you step inside the arena, so we'll be all right for tonight.
Unless you're on air when a tornado hits the Georgia Dome, then all bets are off at that point. There is the rare exception to it. Hey, look, what's the deal? Why did you have to go and basically derail our entire season with your 2-point win earlier in conference play? If we had known you were only going to win 4 games, okay, could you not have just let us go ahead and have that one?
I'm telling you, we're asking the same thing of ourselves losing to Florida in our SEC opener, and this is before everybody realized what a dumpster fire the Gators have turned into this year. You know, but that's been kind of the story of this Crimson Tide Gamecock series. I mean, what is it now? 6 of the last 11 games in this series have come down to the final possession, so...
Yeah,
I think we were destined for a one-possession game, and maybe it just came down to the home team getting that last little nudge. And who knows what might be in the cards for it tonight, but that just seems to be the story with the Crimson Tide and Gamecocks. They always play really scrappy, physical, sometimes whistle-playing games that seem to come down to the final possession and come down to just a couple of plays sprinkled over the course of those 40 minutes that makes the difference.
How's this team handling the disappointment of the record, because you played so well in the non-conference and really had momentum coming in? And look, we've seen it. This team can play. You beat Georgia twice. You've pushed some of the other really good teams in this league to the limit. But what's been the missing piece, I guess, to this point, and how is the team handling the fact that they're not in a better position now than what they anticipated?
They're just not shooting well enough. I mean, that's been the story, really, for the balance of SEC play. And you're right, South Carolina has a pretty good resume. I mean, the Gamecocks took on Texas A&M Saturday, and A&M never trailed. They got Darius Thornwell into foul trouble 2 minutes into the ball game, and Daniel House was playing like a house on fire, and the Gamecocks had no answer for him. But Texas A&M, by comparison, they're closing in on 20 wins. They have 0 wins over teams in the RPI Top 50, Chris. The Gamecocks, little old South Carolina, 4-10 in the SEC, has 4 wins over teams in the RPI Top 50. Oklahoma State, Iowa State, and the 2 you mentioned over Georgia. But South Carolina has been good enough to win a lot of these games. We know how Alabama's record could look totally different had things broken their way differently in the closing stretches of these games. For the Gamecocks, it's just having inconsistency make shots. I mean, they're dead last in the SEC, and field goal percentage, I think, is a major conference team. They have the 3rd worst 3-point percentage in the country behind Georgia Tech and Nebraska. And even with Georgia Tech and the way they went toe-to-toe with Louisville, that might have caused some shifting around. They've run good offense. They get the looks they want. They get the available shots. They just have struggled with making them consistently. And, of course, you know, here they were on Saturday going nose-to-nose with Frank Martin's words with Texas A&M. It was a 5-point game with about 6 minutes to go, and South Carolina was shooting 27%. Defensively, they've gotten after it. They've given themselves chance upon chance throughout SEC play on the strength of their defense. It's just being able to make consistent shots that I think has accounted for why South Carolina is 4-10 right now.
Talking with the voice of the South Carolina Gamecocks, he's Andy Demetra, joining us as all of our guests do on the Michelob Ultra Hotline presented by Green Beverage. My big request. You ready for this?
Let's do it.
Here's my big request. I don't mind if you have either Mindaugas Kaichinas in the game or Limonis Hakevichus in the game, but is it too much to ask that you not have them both in the game at the same time?
Well, first off, you sound like a native speaker. I mean, those just rolled off the tongue, Chris. So give yourself a round of applause.
Never in my life, Andy, I'm telling you the truth, I have never in my life worked harder. Probably the last 15 years have not worked harder on two names than I had to, because Brian Pasink was hemorrhaging last year, enjoying me screwing him up so badly. He goes, "You sounded like Ron Burgundy. You doubted yourself so much trying to say those names." He goes, "It was almost like you're reading off the prompter with a question mark at the end of the name. I'm Ron Burgundy."
Yep. I'd say poor Jim Hawthorne. I had to get him. Our buddy Jim Hawthorne at LSU. Poor guy. I mean, it just seems like Tychonis and the Kevages always play heavy minutes when we play LSU, and Hawthorne, God bless him. I mean, it's just, they probably don't run into names like that often in Baton Rouge. I got some bad news for you then, Chris. South Carolina is very shorthanded right now. They suspended two players last week for the remainder of the regular season. Demetrius Henry, who was a sophomore power forward and started most every game for them this year, though he was only averaging about 6.3 rebounds a game. And then their freshman guard, Shamik Shepard. They've had several players be out for spells with concussions. South Carolina, until recently, had been, for a time, only dressing 9 guys. So very shorthanded roster, not a whole lot of options as far as substitutions. But Akevich and Tychonis have been healthy throughout. So you're going to see Akevich is likely get the start and Tychonis be the first guy off the bench. And those guys will probably be good for at least 25 minutes to pop. So get that tongue warmed up. That's all I can tell you.
Man. I will gladly trade saying their names if you'll keep Michael Carrera off the floor a little bit too, because that's the guy that, to me, absolutely did the damage to Alabama. Just the energy he creates, the opportunities he creates on second chance buckets because of the way he plays. Now, it may just be us that he dusts all that off for, but at 6'5", 215, he's about as impactful a guy as you've seen in the undersized category.
Yeah, and that's been Michael Carrera for his career. He's now a junior. He's out of Venezuela and was one of those guys that Frank Martin signed as part of his first recruiting class. You know, look, he's always going to be an undersized power forward, and there are certain things that you just can't overcome no matter how long you've been with the program. And his size, sometimes giving up 3-4 inches, that's always going to be something he's had to overcome. But he plays with a lot of energy and a lot of intensity, and we saw that back in January when the Tide came to Columbia. And Frank told us after the game, him and Tychonis won them that game almost single-handedly in the second half with their offensive rebounding. Tychonis was another guy. He had 8 rebounds like Carrera did back in January, and he alone had more offensive rebounds than the entire Alabama team. And so South Carolina, that's been part of its salvation. They haven't been able to shoot very accurately, but they're always a team that commits to pounding the offensive glass. All of their guys will just throw their bodies around the rim trying to keep taps alive, win 50-50 balls. Carrera's that energy setter for South Carolina. So 12 points, 8 rebounds at Colonial Life Arena back on January the 13th. Obviously, if Alabama needs to match his energy level, win those carries, those ricochets, because he's the guy who's going to extend a lot of possessions for South Carolina. Just a dirty work kind of player, but for South Carolina, if they want to win on the road, they need to have that guy who can throw his body around and be that spark for them underneath. For a South Carolina team that, as I've said, has been documented this year, struggles to score.
How's the growth of the program as a whole under Frank? Because I know, again, as we've talked about, they had hoped they would be better. This is year 3. He's still 10 games below 500. I know he came into kind of a tough spot, but at a place, frankly, where on a consistent basis, it hasn't been easy to win there at a high level. In year 3, just in terms of building it the way he wants to for the long term, where is it?
Well, this is year 3 for Frank, but you have to treat year 1 almost like year 0, because he was still playing with another coaching staff's players that had gone 2-14 the year before. And truthfully, they weren't very compatible with Frank's system and his style. His very first recruiting class, he was hired March 27th. We often see, Chris, coaches come in, and just to fill out the ranks, they go and get a bunch of JC guys or do what Bruce Pearl does, get graduate transfers that are basically one-year rentals. And Frank wasn't about that. So he signed guys that he could have for 4 years and be available over the course of several years, but these were all guys who were uncommitted late. And so, you know, obviously they weren't going to be as star-studded a kid as some of the other guys that you traditionally see in recruiting classes. And those are the guys, Kevichs, Ferreira, Kitchenis, who are now all juniors and the upperclassmen in this program. I'll give you some numbers. And look, 4-10 in the SEC. The Gamecocks had 4 wins in year 1, 5 wins in the SEC in year 2 under Frank Martin. So you look at where they are right now, and you're tempted to say they're not having a lot of progress or what have you. And, you know, again, if you're all about the bottom line and wins and losses, and that's it, that's all you use to evaluate the success of the head coach, then you might not be satisfied at this juncture. But here are a couple of things. The Gamecocks have been either tied or in the lead on the road in, I believe, 6 of their 8 road games in the SEC, whereas they didn't come close their first 2 years to consistently being in position to win on the road. Frank's first year at South Carolina, they were 245th in the nation in defensive efficiency, which to me is a better indicator of a team's defensive prowess. How many points they average allowing per possession. All right, flash forward to this year. South Carolina, in spite of that 4-10 record, this is why you can expect a kind of a grind fest of a game tonight. They're 14th in the nation in defensive efficiency. You look at the teams that are in the top 25 nationally in defensive efficiency.
South Carolina is the only one that doesn't have a winning conference record, and that I think is largely because of their struggles shooting the basketball. But he's laid that foundation with his defensive system where he feels good about the future. He likes his core. And by the way, that defensive efficiency is almost identical to the defensive efficiency he had with his Kansas State team in 2010, the 129 games of Reese Field Elite Eight. So you look at that, and it's not very glamorous to talk about defense, but I think that foundation has been laid with this program. They've got a McDonald's All-American coming in next year. First time they've signed a McDonald's All-American since the year 2000. Another top 100 kid. Guys like Dwayne Notis, Darius Norwell, they're all going to get a year older, a year wiser. Marcus Stroman is a freshman point guard who's missed the last 4 games because of a throat infection, but he was getting 20, 22 minutes a game in conference play. They really love what he brings to the table as a floor general in the years to come. So Frank feels good about his core. Obviously, they'd like to have won more games than they are at this point right now, but you feel like the system is in place where they can start to really turn that corner next year with the infusion of talent and get themselves to a place where they can compete and win those games on the road in the SEC and turn 4-10 into 7-7 or 8-6.
Last thing, and I'll let you run. Got to ask you baseball. The Gamecocks, traditionally one of the best in the country. I know you had a schedule that really challenged things, certainly in that opening weekend against College of Charleston a couple of weeks in. How are things looking?
I think you're looking good at it. It was very lackluster on opening day. They were held 4 hits, and they got run off their own field. But ever since then, they've kind of snapped back to attention. This is a team that I think is going to have the pitching. They're going to have the defense like usual. Jack Weinberg has moved into the #1 starting role, although Will Crow, I think, is the guy who has the most pro potential. And right now, he's their #2 starter. It's a very left-handed dominant lineup, so it'll be very unorthodox compared to the rest of the SEC. But they've got some guys who have stepped up. And you know, this is not a team that's built on high-velocity pitchers or guys who swing for the fences. They're just a scrap iron team that's going to dig in, play defense, and try to get that tough hit with 2 outs. Obviously, that was in short supply for Carolina last year, as those injuries mounted and they couldn't get out of their own regional. So Chet Holbrook feels pretty good. Obviously, they got some questions to fill. They lose an All-American catcher in Grayson Griner. They lose an All-American closer in Joel Seddon. They lose a Friday night starter in Jordan Montgomery and a mainstay in the middle of their order, left side of the infield of Joey Pancake. So this is a team that's going to look different, but there are guys right now who are reaching for that brass ring right now, and it's fun to see. I think we're going to see just maybe how good this team can be when they step on the field for 3 games this weekend in their rivalry series with Clemson. So, different look to this team, but the expectation is still very high for South Carolina.